Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Wednesday, 16th of June.
Woo!
Mate, Ray.
Yeah, what's
from
his last
Thirsty
name?
Merc. Thistlethwaite.
Okay.
Correct? Thank
Thistle
you.
Thistlethwaite.
Thistlethwaite. You've been laughing at me all day for trying
Sorry,
to... Anyway, Ray is doing a big gig.
Ray Thistlethwaite is a great bloke.
He's
from Thirsty Merc.
And
he's
dad lives on the Central Coast too.
I know. Wild. And he's chatting about the gig at the Doyler.
Yeah, this coming Sunday.
And how much we pay for the canines.
Unbelievable.
Our four-legged friends.
What this couple paid for a cattle dog. You won't believe it. This coming Sunday, Rob at the Doylo. The boys are back, Thirsty Merc.
It is on.
Yeah, the main man from Thirsty Merc is Ray Thistlethwaite, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
How are you guys?
Mate, back to the Doylo, buddy.
Yep, back at the Doylo, Central Coast. My dad lives on the Central Coast, so it's close to my heart.
Yeah, Wyong Way. Your dad's is your dad still at Wyong?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah.
So, what, will you stay the night at Dad's, or is that a hotel job when you come up? Because I know what it's like when I go back and stay with Mum and Dad for a night or two. Sometimes get awkward.
Oh, no, look, usually I finish so late that it's petered off by then.
Hey, Ray, did your dad go to many of your gigs?
Yeah, he does go to a few. I mean, he used to play in a lot of bands back in, well, even from the 60s and 70s, he was playing in bands, playing bass and guitar. So.
And have you ever been on stage performing with your dad?
Yes, I've got a very novel story about that. One time my bass player, Phil, had an emergency appendix, had to get his appendix out in a really quick success.
Can happen, just as you're about
it
to go on.
Can happen, yep. And so I sort of rang my dad and said, look, we're in the Cambridge Hotel up there in Newcastle. Phil's not going to be with us, but the gig, there's 600 tickets sold. Can you jump on the bass? And so we had about a 20-minute rehearsal backstage on an acoustic guitar, and I was like, you sure you know this stuff? He's like, yeah, mate, I've heard it all before. Oh, I know your stuff. Of course I've heard it, you know.
Don't try and teach this old dog new tricks. Yeah.
And I was sort of thinking, the way he told me that he knows the stuff doesn't seem too convincing. But anyway, he got on stage and the crowd went crazy because I was like, well, look, clearly Phil's not here. He jumps on stage and the crowd went nuts because they just sort of thought, oh, this is going to be hilarious. And then he cut the gig. He did good.
That's unreal.
It worked all right.
Like all good musicians, you were following the bass player.
I think, look, Phil, our bass player, wouldn't be happy to be replaced by anybody because, by the way, he's irreplaceable anyway as a musician. But I guess if it's going to be anyone, my dad's probably the right guy.
That's unreal. And what a moment, playing with your dad on stage. That's
brilliant.
Glorious.
Yeah, it was great. It was really cool. We actually talk about it together a lot, you know.
Ray, we looked at some of your early musical influences and we listened to the Beach Boys there, Buddy Holly, Deep Purple, Cream, Iron Maiden, Stevie Wonder, a few. But is there anyone, like alive or dead, that you go, geez, I'd love to play with that person?
Oh, I mean, look, my mum taught me piano as a kid, and he's not playing anymore, but his name's Keith Jarrett. He's a piano player, and he did all these solo concerts in the 70s and just improvised the whole thing. He's sort of one of those guys that, you know, he's an unsung hero of mine. I'd love to work with him.
The improv stuff when you're just making it up as you go along, is that what you prefer doing that? Do you change your songs up at live gigs where you just go wild and, you know, how Led Zeppelin used to do 45 minutes of Dazed and Confused? Do you try and get on with that sort of gear?
Yeah, we try and stick to the script to a certain, you know, I guess if there's like a contracted time that we've got to play and curfews of the venue, we'll try and sort of at least keep within those parameters. But I think improvisation is something I've always liked about. I mean, you guys do it on the radio. You don't know what's coming next and you have to roll with the punches. I think I've always enjoyed that in, you know, comedy. I've enjoyed it in theatre and I love it in music. It's great. Pretty exhilarating, that sort of stuff.
I bet you're glad to be back too, mate. Like, we've been speaking to a lot of bands. It's so good that, you know, with the restrictions easing a little bit, especially, well, in New South Wales and in other states, Melbourne's still copping it. But, mate, it's good to be back, though, buddy, I could imagine.
It is, yeah, it's great. Yeah, every muso I speak to is you can just feel that there's a positive energy there. I've also been doing this tour called the Fabulous Capretos, which is myself, Daryl Braithwaite, Russell Morris and Jack Jones and a couple of the crew and other band members are in, or they're based in Melbourne. They've just stayed out of Victoria at the moment, so they're sort of going up to places like Kingscliff and Ballina and getting an Airbnb up there and waiting between gigs. So I think their wives are sort of a bit upset that they're sort of walking around in T-shirts on beaches and stuff, and they're back down in Victoria. But at the end of the day, I speak to the mates, my mates who are down in Victoria, and that you know, it does emotionally affect you when you're not allowed to work. I think that's just as much a thing, you know, when you've got your sort of livelihood on hold. That's really hard.
Yeah, a lot of businesses suffering, and that's you know, just in music, entertainment, but also retail. It's just really knocking them around.
Tell you what, Ray, at the Doylo, they are itching for a bit of thirsty merc this coming Sunday. You guys are going to tear it up big time.
Yeah, we will. We'll give it everything we got, as we always do, and this will be no exception. So, get your tickets. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah, doors open at 5 p.m. Tickets at thedoylo.com.au. As always, Ray, mate, thanks for joining us, and go on Sunday night, buddy.
Thanks very much. Good to chat, guys. See ya.
It's Australian dog, right? It now holds the title of the world's most expensive Kelpie, sold for auction at the weekend, $35,000.
Get to the good point that I made. What was that?
$200. Oh, no, you didn't make a good point. It was just that you had your dog. You paid for $400.
Mate, and we got a Kelpie. We got our Kelpie, between $400 and $600. I can't remember exactly, but it was less than $600. I know that much. And it was all had vaccinated, had its papers. It's a blonde cattle dog.
Why is it so?
Why is another dog that's not so much different, you would imagine? Albeit for lack of training.
$35,200. Would you pay it? And what have people been paying for animals?
Good morning, Caroline from Rocky Point.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good. Now, do you work at the Health Spot Cafe at Budgie?
I certainly do.
How's that?
The
been?
One and only.
Yeah. Any place. Now, dogs, we're looking at the price and what friends have paid for dogs. Maybe you have paid. How crazy is getting?
Well, look, this is not actually a dog. My son paid $1,000 for a blue tongue lizard.
Yes.
Now, I'm not kidding. It's actually a very special blue tongue lizard. It's actually a black blue tongue lizard, but $1,000 for it.
How old is your son?
He's 35.
Right.
That's incredible. I used to have a blue tongue lizard lived under the concrete slab, you know, under my driveway at the house, and I didn't pay a cent for it.
Cost you nothing.
No. That's exactly right. Free.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. $1,000. Holy jeez.
He's still got it?
Yes, he does. Oh, the plan is to breed it. His flatmate who shares the house with him, he has one as well, and the plan is we're going to breed them and make a fortune.
Okay. Oh,
turn the lights down low, turn on a bit of Barry White, and we'll let the lizards do their thing.
Tell him to get into cryptocurrencies much easier.
Yeah, I
do. Okay, good on you. Thanks for that.
Thanks,
Kaz.
We've
got Kylie from Wyoming. Kylie, the price of pets gone bloody mad.
I think it's worth it.
What? $35,200 for a Kelpie?
I'm coming from a farmer's perspective where you can't get workers in to help with roundup and harvest and labouring. Yeah. So it's actually probably cheaper than hiring some from overseas.
Yeah, those backpackers aren't much better than Kelpies.
But hey, do the Kelpies eat mice? That's the thing. That's what they've got to do. They've got to be good mice eaters, though.
Got a short-haired border collie. He's living with my mum and dad in Tamworth at the moment, and he caught 20 mice in the last 2 weeks.
He needs to up his game by about 5,000% if he's going to be worth it.
Hey, Kylie, thanks for the call.
No worries. Thanks, Bolly.
Now, you know, Patty, I told you about a party I went to a couple of weeks ago, and you know what I like when you go to a party and you meet someone different? And this fella that I bumped into at the party wasn't just different. He turned out to be quite the genius. He's a boy.
look, anyone smarter than you isn't hard. Just saying, Rob.
That's right. But no, I've found someone right up the tree, Paddy, that I can hang on to. This guy, he is a bio, and I think I got this right, biomechanical engineer, Dr. Jordan Nguyen. And he is doing stuff with people who have disabilities that is quite remarkable. But rather than I tell you about it, I've got him on the phone to explain a bit about what he does. G'day, Jordan.
G'day, Jordan.
G'day, gents. How you going?
Look, I can't even spell what your work title is. Rob can't say it. So what the bloody hell do you do?
What is the latest in what you've been getting through?
Oh, look, he was close. Biomedical engineer. It's a whole range of things, really. I work on everything to do with tech. I get to to design things from robotics to artificial intelligence. Biomedical is really mixing the human and the machine side of things, sort of looking at how we can design medical products that can improve quality of life. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and look, you just told me about a discovery about the brain's association with the eyes and what that can do when you connect it up to machinery.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible thing. You've all seen, you know, the electrical signals of the heart. That's ECG, and those recognizable signals are actually the electrical signals going through the heart. So if we look at those, it's a very similar type of signal. If we also look at the signals from when you move your muscles, like when you move your hands, to when you move your eyes. And if you move your eyes, your brain sends electrical signals, just kind of like your own laptops or any of your electrical devices, but on a much smaller scale. And so whenever you you move your eyes, your brain sends electrical signals to the little muscles that push and pull them. And so we've designed systems that can intercept a lot of those signals and pick up on them. So you can do things like control equipment, either with your eyes or even with your brainwaves, just through thoughts.
Jordan, how do you bloody start this? How?
It beggars belief, doesn't it?
It beggars belief. It really does, mate.
I'll tell you how you start it by watching sci-fi movies and X-Men.
Mate, I'm going, holy hell, I can't even do it on the laptop.
I know. So, Jordan, you have, and you've put this into actual practice with a couple of friends of yours. I mean, I know that you've done incredible things with a young bloke who's 13 years old, Riley. He can now turn lights on and off just using
his
mind.
With his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was 2016. Worked with him on an ABC documentary called Becoming Superhuman, and it all came from him. Like he let us know that he wanted to be able to control, you know, lights and the TV in the home, and his big dream was to drive a car. And I thought, well, it's an amazing thing if you can actually get on board with someone else's dream and do anything towards helping them achieve it. It's an incredible feeling. So so we just started building it. And basically, when you said, you know, you don't know where to get started, that's just it. Whenever you have a big idea, you just get started and you figure it all out along the way.
It's incredible. And this guy, this kid Riley, has absolutely no control over any part of his body other than his eyes that he can control the lights on. He can make things work, man, using his mind.
So what hospital do you work for, Jordan?
Oh, I work for my own. I've got my own social business called Psykinetic in Sydney. So it's psyche and kinetic, putting the mind into action. I've worked for myself for years now.
Can you come back and can we talk? I'm so interested in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you come back at another time?
We'd love to, because he's doing some amazing things with a young girl called Jess Irwin and Steve Balby from Noiseworks, and we can maybe talk about that.
Yeah, we want to talk about, mate, could you do that? That would be bloody sensational.
Definitely. All right, let's lock it in.
You are the smartest person we've ever had on the show, Dr. Jordan.
Just have a lot of fun.
Thank you, mate.
Good on you, Jordy.
Cheers, gents.
Because I really love this show.
I know.
I really do.
Froth over this thing.
And Kevin and Janita stayed here. Two of the stars stayed here on the Central Coast last week. You wouldn't believe it.
How'd they rate it?
Well, I think they would have given it 10 out of 10. Would have given it 5 stars.
As long as they weren't in Narara, but down the road from you.
That would have been a minus one if they stayed at our joint. But did
the noise.
Did we want to talk to any of the stars? No. We wanted to talk to...
With rugged ranges, spectacular savannas and kick-ass coastlines, the Kimberley region stretching across the whole top of Western Australia.
The lady who is the star of Travel Guides. Without this woman, Travel Guides would be nothing.
Nothing.
It is actually Denise Scott. G'day, Denise.
Hey, Denise.
Hello there. Thank you for having me. And I agree, I am definitely the star of that show.
Denise
Scott.
I'm why
it's raging so well.
That's right, Denise. It's nothing to do with Stack and Mel and the friend family from Newcastle.
No,
they're
nothing. Kevin and Janetta, Target boys.
Chump change.
Dorian. And you know what, Denise?
I was going to say,
Kevin and Janetta, they stayed here on the Central Coast last week. I found out.
Oh, yeah. See, they're my kind of people. They're the sort of people, no matter where they go, rather than climb a mountain or look at a view, they know how to have a Shiraz in the quiet and comfort of a warm hotel room. They're my kind of travel people.
Straight from the box.
Hey, Denise, did you get invited? I saw it on Current Affair the other night. Jonathan got married from the friend family. Did you get an invite?
I did not. I have. I mean, I'm not. I wouldn't say we're close, but we do the occasional, you know, social media message.
Of course you would. How dare they?
What a missed media opportunity.
Exactly. I probably wouldn't have been able to get out of Melbourne, where I live anyway, but odds on me getting anywhere at any time are pretty slim.
Yeah, and especially with your sore throat and your cough and everything, I don't think they would have wanted that at the wedding at all.
That's true. but, you know, there's a fan book page for travel guides. I only know because someone, I don't know how you do it on social media, but linked me in to a discussion. This was just a couple of days ago, and someone had asked, who narrates travel guides? And this guy replied, Mary Tyler Moore. And who was, you know, I mean, long since dead, American actress Mary Tyler Moore. Now, you would think people would catch on, maybe that's a bit of a joke. But no, people were like, how could it be Mary Tyler Moore? She's American. And then this guy came back and said, oh, it's Mary Tyler Moore doing an Australian accent, which she does very well. And people were absolutely sucked in. And then someone comes in and goes, hang on, everyone. You know, Mary Tyler Moore's dead. And then this guy came back and said, I know, but seriously, she's narrating.
Yes. Sorry, you were going to say, Denise?
No, well then, but it went on, you know, like, how dare this person make fun of me, Tyler Moore. It was, anyway, very amusing for me.
Elvis Presley's still alive, as you know.
Yes.
He's alive doing cement trucks up at Charmhaven.
Dating Mary Tyler.
Yes, that's what we're here. Denise, because you've been doing the narration for Travel Guides since it started?
Yeah, like 5 years. 5 years now. And what a sweet job.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it'd be great if I could travel. But I just go into a sound booth and 3 hours later I leave. Yeah. And I don't have to wear makeup. I can wear my old runner's Ugg boots. I can have an arthritic flare-up and sit on a stool.
That's right. Get a rub down.
Fine. I can't get off the stool once I'm on it. But
it doesn't matter.
You ought to audition for the next, you know, in one of those next cartoon movies where you can just be a voice. That'd be a good one too.
Yeah, voice. It actually, you know, when I started it was terrible because I just thought, oh, well, they just want my voice, so I'll just... And I had to do the whole thing again. Like they recorded the whole series. It was ready to go to air, and I had to go back in to the booth. It wasn't as easy as what I thought. Actually, took some work.
Do you sit down and watch the show on a Wednesday night? Because it's the last episode tonight.
Yes, I do. I do sit down and watch. Do I sound doubtful? yes. No, I do. And in fact, especially. But my kids aren't here anymore, you know. Well, my kids live overseas. And when they're home and they're staying here, they love that show. It's like a favourite. And, I often watch it. Because weirdly, like I go in and I see it for 3 hours. And then I look at it on TV. I think, oh, my God, I don't remember seeing that in the... Oh, look at that. I forget everything. So I have to watch it. Remember that I had it the week before.
Well, we look forward. Final episode tonight of this series, episode 7. It's on Channel 9 and NBN. This lady, Aussie comedian Denise Scott, she is the narrator. Hey, Denise, thank you so much for taking time and joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you on this morning.
But am I Denise Scott?
Exactly. Mary Tyler Moore.
I'm going to look her up straight away.
Thanks, Denise.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers, download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.